day is found in the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, and part of the 15th chapter. We left off speaking to you where God had commanded Israel to encamp in Migdol by the edge of the Red Sea. They had came into a pass called Pi-hahiroth, and at this pass there was sort of a temple, an idol temple, called Baal-Zephon. This temple was an observatory tower, and it was used by the sailors and mariners who sailed the Red Sea to watch and to look at this for a sign for them. Here then we find the children of Israel in a narrow pass. There were mountains on each side, and likewise the Red Sea was in the front of them. And the Egyptians pursued after them. And when they seen the Egyptians coming after them, the children of Israel were greatly afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes and saw them, they cried unto the Lord. These people, they were then in a place where God had brought them. They hadn't come there themselves, but God had told them to camp here. And God brought them here for a purpose, to glorify himself, to get himself honor upon the Egyptians and upon the Israelites. For the Egyptians, to their destruction, and for the glory of himself, to reveal his care, his love, and his affection to the Israelites. And now we find that these people, they cried out in great fear. Now this cry, was it a cry of faith? No, it was not a cry of faith. It was a cry in great fear. Because they turned around and began to speak unto Moses and said unto him, was there no graves back in Egypt that you brought us into this place? Why did you bring us here? It would have been better for us to be back in Egypt in slavery and bondage than to die in this wilderness here, in this desert. These people, they had experienced a wonderful deliverance out of the land of Egypt. Their children had been spared by God, and every one of the firstborn of the Egyptians had been slain. And now they are in a place where they cannot go forward, they cannot go backward, and they cannot either go sidewards. They are hemmed in. They see death before them, and they see death behind them. And they're crying out in their fear, and they become discontented. They become discouraged. Or they think it would have been better for them to have been back in Egypt, serving the Egyptians, rather than die in this place. My hearers, if you are a true Israelite, you will take consideration here that it goes just the same with many of them. It may have pleased God to bring you out of Egypt, the Egypt of this world. He gave you a new birth. He led you out. What a wonderful time that was for your soul. You'll never forget that. I'm sure of that. If God has given you a clear and a wonderful birth, then you have memories of it which cannot be taken away. But with these people, they came into a narrow pass, and so with many a spiritual Israelite, they see nothing else behind them but the enemies. They are like a troop of devils pursuing after them, and they cannot return back because the enemies would overcome them. They cannot go forward because they see nothing else but what? They think poverty is ahead of them. They think nothing else but reproach and despising of men, and they have everything, it seems, against them. And they have nothing else but on their sides troubles. and they begin to become just like these Israelites, discontented, discouraged. They begin to say, why did I ever make a profession of religion? I wish I never had. I wish I had remained in the world. I never had any trouble like I have now. I don't know which way to go. Everything seems to be against me. My relatives, everything I know, seems to be opposite to me. And all, if I go on like this, I'm so uncertain about my state, maybe I'll be lost forever anyway. Oh, how often God's dear children come into places like this. This is where these Israelites came. And now we find that they cried unto the Lord. They cried because they were discontented. They were discouraged. They didn't cry in faith to be delivered. But we find that Moses, the leader, the mediator, he likewise was crying. We don't read that he was crying, but we read that God said unto him, wherefore criest thou unto me? See, in this, that a person may be crying inwardly unto God without any signs or any tokens of it outwardly. And still God heard Moses crying unto him. And Moses, he turns around and speaks unto the people. And he says unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For these Egyptians that you see today, you shall see them no more forever. Ye will not have to fight, but the Lord will fight for you. Keep your peace. All we have here, Moses, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as a mediator for these people, and speaking unto them in this way, where they were so filled with fear and dread that they thought sure if they went forward they would die, if they went backward the Egyptians would slay them, and they were stuck. They were in the middle of this pass and they couldn't get out. And now Moses speaks, how wonderful. And these words were to these people, fear not, stand still, and behold the salvation of the Lord. It was as if God was speaking to these people. He says, fear not, I brought you here, I know you're here. Be calm, be not excited, do not be filled with anxiety. I am here to help you, I am here to deliver you. I will take care of your enemies for you, I will fight for you, you don't have to raise up a sword to defend yourselves. I will help you and deliver you. Oh, how comforting this must have been to these Israelites when Moses spake in this way. Oh, my hearers, have you ever been in a place like these Israelites were? Have you ever, as a true Israelite, been hemmed in? You couldn't go forward, you couldn't go backward, you didn't know what to do. And lo and behold, and God came, and he spake unto you in a similar manner. Fear not. Have you ever been filled with fear? Have you ever feared that you were wrong for eternity? Has the devil ever come in and tried to prove that you were wrong and you believed him and you were filled with fear? Have you ever feared that great and that terrible God who in a moment could consume you in his anger and in his wrath, and that justly because of your sins? Have you ever feared that you would be lost forever? Oh, how wonderful when God speaks, fear not. Oh, he has a fearing and a trembling people. And he has so many fear nots in his precious word. And he uses them at times for these fearing people. Fear not. Stand still. Oh, don't be discouraged. Don't be all excited. Don't be filled with anxiety. I am with you. I will help you. I will deliver you. All my hearers, may God use the feeble instruction that I'm giving unto you at this present time for your comfort and for your encouragement, those that are filled with fear. And now Moses, he was commanded by God to stretch forth his rod over the Red Sea. And God gave Moses to stretch this rod over the Red Sea, and he caused a strong wind to come during the night, and this wind separated the waters of this sea. Oh, what a wonderful thing this must have been for Moses, to step close to the sea and to put this rod out and to see the waters begin to separate. Oh, how wonderful this was for this man Moses in obedience to God. God opened the way for these people when there was no way anymore for them. All we see in this, my hearers, how that the church likewise comes into a place where it's cut off, where it can't go back, it can't go sideways, it can't go forward. It's a lost matter with the church. And then it pleases God to open the way for them. Has he ever done so for you, my hearers? Have you ever been in a place where God had to perform a miracle for your soul, or otherwise it was lost for you? Has he ever come down and witnessed in your heart, in your distress, when you knew not which way to go anymore? Has he revealed Christ unto your soul as the way, as the truth, and as the life? Or he is the way whereby a poor sinner can be saved eternally from all his enemies and from all his distresses. For this man Moses, he was given then to perform another miracle. The waters begin to divide themselves. And we find that the angel of God that was in the front of the camp of the Israelites, he went around the back and he stood between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israelites. For the Egyptians, he was darkness. But for the Israelites, he was light. And by this angel of the Lord, we must understand the Lord Jesus Christ, who was leading his people from Egypt to Canaan. He was leading them and guiding them. He was before them in the daytime with a pillar of cloud, and at night in a pillar of fire. And they had wonderfully a visible sign of their divine protector, their divine leader with them at all times. Oh, there are souls here that would like to see this with their eyes too, that God was for them, that God was leading them, that they had a visible sign. Oh, my hearers, that is not for us in these times in which we live, but we have his word, which is a word of truth, which is a light shining in a dark place. And this is as a cloud, this is as a pillar of fire whereby he leads us. Has he ever spoken out of it to you? Has it ever been comforting to you? Oh, what a light it spreads over our ways, and how encouraging is this word when he uses it, my hearers. And this is the angel of the covenant that speaks unto us in and through the medium of this precious word. And this angel, he stood between these two camps. He separated them. And the Egyptians were in darkness, and the Israelites, they had light. And this is the way it is to this day, my hearers. And those that serve the world, that serve sin, serve Satan, they are children of darkness. God is no light unto them. But those that may be true Israelites, they have this God, who is an everlasting light for their leader and for their guide. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And he is the light of his church even to this day for every individual soul. And now we find that these Israelites, they were hesitating to enter into this way which God opened up before them. And therefore he speaks by Moses and says, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Oh, to go forward. My hearers, what did these people need? They needed faith. to go through this pathway that God opened up for them. Oh, how wonderful. They all entered into the sea, every one of them. And they were given faith to go into this way that God opened. Oh, my hearers, what a remarkable thing this must have been for these people. Oh, how they seen God was with them. God opened the way when there was no way anymore. Oh, if you have ever experienced it in your life, what a wonderful God you have to deal with. How good he is, how kind he is. Oh, he showed his favor and his love and affection to these people. And these people, they entered into the sea. The sea is the arm of the Indian Ocean. It is called the Red Sea after Edom, whose land borders this sea. Edom means red. And these Israelites began to march through this sea. And now we find that the Egyptians who pursued them, and they came likewise rushing madly into this opening that God had opened for the Israelites. Did they stop? Did they think? Did they say to each other, this never happened before? What's this, that there's a way open through the sea? They didn't even stop to consider. They just rushed madly after the Israelites through this pass that God had opened up. Oh, this is a type, my hearers, of all those that are rushing madly on in sin, following the course of this world, not considering God at all. But these Egyptians never stopped to consider this God. Or had they but stopped and thought. Back in Egypt, this God, he had been with these people. He had sent so many plagues upon these Egyptians. And now this God again reveals himself. No, they had no consideration of him at all. Onward they rushed right into the midst of the sea after the Israelites. And my hearers, we find that Pharaoh and all his host, with all his chariots, pursued after them. And now when they got into the midst of the sea, then we find God looking down upon the Egyptians. And God began to trouble these Egyptians. The wheels of their chariots started to come off. Some of their wheels started to sink in the mud. They couldn't get any further. And they began to think, and they began to consider that God was doing this, and they began to speak to each other and said, let us flee before the Israelites, because it is God that is fighting for them. We see this army, this host of Egyptians, filled with consternation, not knowing what to do anymore. Oh, they began to leave their chariots and they began to run backwards, hoping to attain to the shore on the other side where they had come in. But God, he seen what was going on with these Egyptians, and he spoke unto Moses, and he said unto Moses, stretch thy hand out over the sea, that the waters may come again to its strength. Oh, what a command Moses received here. Oh, what a thing to do, my hearers. Just think, if you were in the position of Moses and God commanded you to stretch out your rod over the sea, that the waters would come together and would cover all these people and drown them. It was the command of God. And Moses, in obedience to God, stretched out his rod again over the sea, and the waters began to come together. And these Egyptians, they began to flee before it. But the current was so strong, the waves were so terrible, that they tried to swim, they tried to keep themselves afloat, but they could not. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Every one of them drowned and lost their lives in this awful judgment that God brought upon them. All Israel was still marching. The waters were on each side. It was dry ground for them, but in the back of them, the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea. God overthrew them. And the next morning we find that the Israelites found all the Egyptians dead on the seashore. God had drowned every one of them. There was not one of them that was spared. Oh, what a terrible thing for the Egyptians. But what a blessing for the Israelites that they were given to see all their enemies destroyed by the hand of God. Oh, my hearers, when I think of this, I think of the day of judgment. I think of all the poor creatures that go on in their sins. I think of those that harden their hearts under the sound of the gospel. I think of Pharaoh and his host, who likewise hardened their hearts and would not listen. And I would entreat you, my dear Bible class, oh, harden not your hearts. Go not on in your sins. Oh, if ye will hear his voice today, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Oh, what an awful eternity awaits you if you go on in your sins and you harden your heart against everything that God brings upon you. Oh, I would entreat you to bring your hard heart to God and say, Lord, do create in me a new heart. Do give me a soft heart. Make it pliable. And give me true repentance. Give me that I may not go on in my sins. Give me that I may be stopped in my mad rush to eternity. Oh, may what I have been speaking be given to you to be brought into exercise. It is for your soul's welfare, my hearers. On that great day of the couch, and then every one shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone that have gone on in their sins, and they will be with the devil and all his angels. Oh, what an awful eternity, my hearers. I cannot picture it out bad enough. It'll be more worse than what I could say it is. And now these Israelites, they were led by God through the Red Sea. And when they came on the other side, then they saw what God had done for them. Oh, what a wonder God had done for these people. They had been mercifully delivered from all their enemies, and they saw them all dead on the seashore. So it will be, my hearers, in that great day of accounts, then every spiritual Israelite will see all his and her and the churches and God's enemies destroyed, cast into this lake of fire. And all they will be given to praise and to rejoice in what God has done for them. And we find that these Israelites were standing on the seashore, and then they believed in God, and they believed in his servant Moses, when they seen what he had done. Oh, this is what we would like to have. We would like to have a visible sight so that we could believe. And that we could believe the servants of God that are sent to us with the very same message. Oh, my hearers, in this experience that we have been speaking about of the Israelites is also the experience of the church. How many times they are brought into places where they cannot go forward or backward or sidewards, but God opens the way for them. Has he ever done so for you? Have you ever experienced a day like the Israelites? That you were delivered, that you were brought out of what you were in, your troubles, be it soul troubles, be it providential troubles, that God helped you through, he heard you, he answered you. And have you ever experienced a day wherein you praised him, wherever you believed in him? Oh, wonderful time, my hearers. Oh, when we consider what these people did after they had experienced this. And read the very beginning of the next chapter. Moses begins to sing. Miriam, his sister, takes up a tremble, and they begin to dance and to praise that great God in heaven above, who had caused Pharaoh and all his host to sink like lead in the mighty waters of the Red Sea. Oh, they had then reasons to praise and to thank God for what he had done. And have you never had that? Oh, you remember some time when you was given to praise and to thank God for the things that he did for you. And they may have seemed small in your estimation, but everything that God does is great, my hearers. And now we find that after they had sang his praises, and they were given likewise, that you enjoy something of his presence, then Moses, he led these people 3 days' journey into the wilderness of Shur. This wilderness is somewhere around 250 miles wide on the north, and it is likewise 200 and some miles long. It runs down into a cape where the Indian Ocean comes in and divides it. There we find a wilderness. These people came up out of the Red Sea, and they came up on the western shore of the Red Sea, and the promised land was 200 miles away. In a direct course, if they had went through the land of the Philistines, they could have easily made it maybe in about 10 days. But God chose that they should go through the wilderness of the Red Sea. He did not want them to go through the land of the Philistines because they were a numerous people and a very powerful people, and they probably would have opposed their progress to the land of Canaan. Therefore, he chose this route for them. And we find after 3 days' journey that they came into this wilderness. In this wilderness, there is nothing that actually grows, just thorns, shrubs, and some bushes. That's about all it grows there. In the northern part, it's nothing but mountains, and in the southern part, likewise. The mountains in the north are made up of chalk. On the southern part of the land, there is mountains of granite. And then we have, likewise, that the soil is nothing else but sand. Springs rare to be found there. And when they do find any water, why, the water is so sulfuric, it's so salty and so disagreeable that you couldn't drink it. And now these people, they came to this place after 3 days' journey. And these people were very numerous. There was over 1,200,000 Israelites, besides the mixed multitude. Some say there was over 2 million people that traveled out of the land of Egypt with them. And then these people all became very thirsty. Oh, they were thirsting for water. They hadn't taken any water with them, and here they were in this wilderness, and they were all wishing for a drink of water, and their cattle likewise need to be given water. And now in the distance there they saw some lakes. And you may be sure how they hasted to get to these lakes of water. For they needed water for themselves to quench their thirst and the thirst of their cattle. And now when they came to this place and they tried to drink the water that was in these lakes, it was very brackish. It was very salty. And the name of this place is called Meribah. Here they came and they were very disappointed. Oh, you may be sure. And they expected to quench their thirst, and no, they couldn't drink. And now they began to murmur and to complain to Moses. They said unto him, "What shall we drink?" And Moses. As the mediator and as the leader, he turns to God and he begins to cry unto God for direction. What shall he do? And God hears the cry of this man Moses. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, when we are in trouble, that we can draw nigh unto God and pray unto him and ask him for his help and for his direction. And we find that God showed Moses a tree. And when he had taken this tree and he had cast this tree into the waters became sweet. And the people of Israel, they quenched their thirst from this water that God had made sweet. Another miracle that God gave Moses to do by the instrumentality of a tree. Oh, my hearers, these people are a type of the Church of Christ through all ages. They had just 3 days before sung his praises. They had reasons to sing. Oh, yes, such a wonderful deliverance. They could never forget something like that. But now you see what human nature is. Just as soon as they got into a place where they couldn't drink any water, then they began to murmur. Then they began to complain. Or are we any different? Are there any spiritual Israelites listening to me? It may be that you likewise have experienced a wonderful deliverance. That God has been good to you in the past. It may have been that he has delivered your soul and set it into liberty. What a wonderful deliverance. It may be likewise that you were in trouble providentially. It may be your wife, your husband was deeply afflicted, and you feared that that was the end. You cried to God in your fears, and he heard you, and he delivered you out of your troubles. He has been good in the past, but now you came into a place again. And what does that reveal? It reveals the nature of a person. Of these Israelites, they murmured to Moses, "What shall we drink?" And now God, in his infinite mercy, direct him to a tree to cast us into the water. And my hearers, this tree typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the tree of life, and he is most sweet. And if ever you get into trouble, if ever you come into a place where you are like the Israelites, and you're murmuring and you're complaining, and it pleases God to reveal his dear son Jesus unto you, to give you a sight of him, then it doesn't make what sort of trouble you are in. For what you may be passing through will be nothing in comparison to the sight that you have of this precious Christ. Oh, you can bear all things with him. You can go through a sea of troubles with him. All when he is revealed, my hearers, what a wonderful blessing it is to the soul. This tree then was the tree of life, for it gave unto the Israelites a water to drink. And likewise, from this tree, Christ Jesus, who is the fountain of living waters, doth flow life into the souls of poor sinners. Oh, how often it has pleased God when his children are in trouble, or when they have to go through so many bitter things, as these Israelites had went through so many bitter things in the land of Egypt. Oh, how bitter was their bondage, and how bitter it became when Moses came to be their deliverer. Then they had to make that many more bricks, and they had to go and look for straw. What a bitter thing it must have been for these poor people when they took their children away from them and they drowned them in the River Nile. Oh, how bitter this must have been for flesh and blood. And now they couldn't drink this water, which was bitter likewise, but God changed it, and then they could drink it. And now it may be that you're going through some bitter things in your life. But we have to go through bitter things in this world. The Lord makes this world bitter unto us, that we'll never be attached to it, that we'll never love it. And now, my dear, as it may be that you've been going through some bitter things, the Lord probably has afflicted you, or he has afflicted your husband, or it may be that he has taken away the desire of your eyes, your husband, your wife, maybe a beloved child. Oh, these are bitter things, my hearers. These are things where our human nature rises up against God. Oh, when we have to go through some of these bitter things in life, and then we find inside here the enmity, the rebellion against that God who deals with us in this way. Oh, what a mercy it is if in the midst of all this we are given the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if we are given likewise to hear his voice speaking unto us, the consolations of his Spirit in the midst of all trouble are so encouraging. And I come down a little lower. You may be in the midst of a lot of trouble. You may be going through a lot of bitter things. But if God gives you just the spirit of prayer, which is a great blessing, my hearers, and you can lay it before God with your whole heart, you can unburden yourself and lay it there. Oh, what a mercy it is. It's just like if you leave the burden there. There it is, Lord, you take care of it. Have you ever been given to do that? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. And this is the God in heaven above that makes bitter things sweet. He does. Has he ever done it for you? Have you ever realized some of the sweetness of God in the midst of all bitterness in this world? What a blessing, my hearers, if you have this God to go to. And this is what he did for the Israelites. He turned them bitter waters into sweet. And so he turns bitter things in this life. And he makes sweetness come out of them for his dear children. Or some of his dear children would say, I never want to go through anything like I did before. But oh, it was so good. God was with me. God spoke to me. And I will never want to forget what I went through either. Oh, we don't like to go through bitter things, but we have to. Sometimes that we may realize that the comforts and consolations of the Spirit of God coming in. And now these people, after they had quenched their thirst, and they were led further, we find that they came to a place called Elim. And this place, and there were 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees. What a blessed place. What a wonderful place in the midst of a desert. 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees. There was a fountain there for each tribe of Israel. And there were 70 palm trees. These palm trees, they are immense. They likewise bear fruit. These palm trees yield dates, somewhere in the neighborhood from 300 to 400 pounds do they yield a season. They are immense. Their leaves are about 9 to 8 feet wide and 9 feet long. Green immense leaves on these trees, and therefore they're called palm trees. And many of the eastern people, they just live off these trees. That's all they live on, the dates that brought forth from them. And here we find the children of Israel in a wonderful place. Plenty of water, plenty of things to eat. Oh, I believe that these people, they wanted to stay there in the midst of this wilderness. Why, this was Canaan already, I would say, for them. Has it ever been so for you, my hearers? Have you ever experienced an Elim in your life? Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when God converts a sinner, and when he's brought under the means of grace. And every Sunday, every song, every time he bends his knees, he finds access, he finds nearness to God. Oh, what a blessed time it is. It's just like an Elim. Oh, the fountains of living water are flowing into the souls of such sinners. Oh, what an enjoyable time, and time you'll never forget, my hearers. We read thereof in the Bible, and that's true. They always remember their first love. And this is the time when we experience an Elim. Oh, what a blessed time. And we eat of the tree of life. Oh, how sweet is his fruit to our taste. Oh, we would wish that it was Sunday every day. We would want to stay here. I know I did. I never thought it would get the way it did though. Oh, how it changed my hearers. And then you begin to think about that Elam. You wished you were back in it. You wished you would enjoy the same things that you had at that time. But here you are in the wilderness. And all my hearers, God teaches us hard lessons in the wilderness, but profitable lessons. And this is what he's teaching these people. And this is what I'm trying to teach you in my feeble way. And I hope God may bless the feeble teachings of his word this day to your immortal souls. We will continue next week with the travels of the children of Israel. Our time is gone. That's all for today.